Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line Podcast. This is your hostess, Kat, and today I have with me Carl.
What's happening, Kat?
Wow. Have you back? It's been a while. Well, you know.
Well, our listeners don't know that, you see, because you have been smoothly releasing episodes one at a time, independent of the fact that they were recorded 8 months ago.
Do not reveal my secrets.
So to everyone else, it seems like we were talking just last week, Kat. Just last week.
Yes. Mm-hmm. At that recently released Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Oh, yes. It came out in the theaters just last week, I recall. The magic of the podcast.
Well, you know, life happens. So sometimes we got a little, you know. Do that thing.
And I feel bad because that was a good one. We should have gotten the word out a little earlier on that one. I enjoyed that one.
Yeah, that was a good episode. Lil Nene, she's stepping up. You know, you like my little nickname I gave her. I was like, you know, that's Stephanie. That's so great. Let's give her a ghetto nickname. And
listen, now that's fine. You see in the podcast, I had begun to call her Stephanie, you know, going all that until, what was it? She got excited about the decimation of populations and the apocalypse. She's Kruger. She's always Kruger to me. So that's it. She lost to Stephanie. She's back to Kruger.
Okay, back to Kruger. Today, guys, we're going to talk about Terra Nova. We're going to touch on Fringe. Maybe a little Supernatural, and perhaps a little Doctor Who if we get around to it. But let's start with Terra Nova first. Been hearing about this one for months at a time. They were supposed to, release it earlier in the year. They stopped. They did, you know, had a whole bunch of problems. I heard there was a big, huge budget with this thing. And so I don't know. I don't know if I was excited about it when I found out about dinosaurs. I was like, I don't know, Jurassic Park. Then we had Stephen Lang. Is that the guy, right?
Yes. That's the commander. Commander Taylor.
Yeah. So I was like, well, you know, I liked him in Avatar. Let's see. I hope he's not the same character. Let's see. So I watched this premiere, and I liked it a lot because, you know, once you enter a dark city and people are running around wearing rebreathers, you sold me. I don't know why. I'm not sure why. I have a thing for them, and if I see them and it's on the set and it's dark and it's because it reminds me of Total Recall 2070, I think it was called, and those shows from I don't know, but I love that. I loved everything about it. I'll get into more detail, but I want to hear what Carl has to say. So
regarding Terra Nova, I liked it, and I was surprised. It is a begrudging, it is a hesitant, but I have to admit, I actually really did like Terra Nova.
Yes!
Yeah. Okay, I don't even know where to start.
Start with the rebreathers and the city with the crazy.
Well, my fear is, first of all, you could see the money in the pilot.
Yes.
When they took us from the rich, you know, post ecological collapse, cyberpunky kind of future to the you know, prehistoric past.
Vancouver.
Okay. All right. Yeah, we've seen that before. But you know, and they did go through a Stargate to get there. So, you know, we're going to let it go because it was a big Stargate. They only had, you know, like one. But the contrast between the worlds that they created of the, you know, the future and the past, I thought that was great. What concerns me about all of that is, of course, you know, they blew their budget on the first episode,
yeah,
and from now on we're going to be stargating it in, you know, on planet Canada for the entire rest of the season. I'm always a big fan of technology, so I'm looking for those little hints of what the future is going to look like, and their future tech is a little Spartan. And it's set, 200 years in the future, right? So other than their giant Stargate super collider and, you know, the CGI world that we saw in the beginning, which, you know, I enjoyed and I really wanted to hang out there a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
But you know how the budgets and you know how shows go. So, you know, we probably will never see the future again. Although, we'll talk about that, too, because there's an interesting question regarding that. But anyway, so I sat there and I had my jaw tight and I was like, okay, what are they gonna throw at me now? Because you know we've been through some stuff when it comes to sci-fi series. We've been through a lot. So I'm leaning into it. I'm going, okay, what are they gonna shovel at me this time? And you know, my hesitancy is right away. It's somebody tweeted this. I forgot who the poster was. Their first criticism of Terra Nova is everyone on the show is 50% more attractive than they ought to be. All right, so you're looking at people, you're like, wait a minute. Everybody looks a little 90210-y. You know, everyone's just a little too. You know,
how do you complain about the cast being too attractive?
I'm sorry, because there is, and you know, you call it a bias or whatever, but you know, you get this impression that, you know, people that have a certain, you know, clean look about them, and they haven't been through enough. You know, they just haven't been through enough. And the guy, you know, the guy who's supposed to be the cop and all of that. Well, anyway, so you're just watching, you're going, okay, these guys, we got supermodels running this thing. All that Taylor was missing. Come on. You know, with that scene where he's standing down the dinosaur by himself with a gun. I was the only thing he was missing was the eye patch. I was like, where is this eye patch? It's only so everybody looked a little, but that's, you know, that, of course you're going to do that because, well, you don't want ugly people on the series and you got to keep
God.
So although that would be believable, there are plenty of fine actors that are unattractive that are excellent actors because of that, but that's another, anyway.
Oh my God, you are crazy.
Look, you know, I like things to be believable. I like believable, but anyway.
What's wrong with you?
I know, that's good. So these are my minor criticisms. I'm watching, and okay, so the next thing I'm watching for is the series that shall not be named. When I started watching it, one of the problems that I had, or that I'm looking out for,
that
I'm looking out for is, all right, I'm tired of, you know, we've seen the enemy and the enemy is us. All right. When I watch, you know, TV series or when I watch a movie, sometimes I kind of like to know, give me some heroes, you know, give me some bad guys. Let me know what the foil is right away. And little by little, as Terra Nova progressed, We saw the dilemma of the ecological collapse. So we have a clear understanding of what the problem is. Then we started to see the family dilemma about, you know, the limited population. And then, okay, so now we've got an extra daughter there going on. Then, okay, then there's the fall of the police officer who's doing his best just to protect his family. Okay, all of these things separately. We kind of seen them before. You know, it was not, you know, revolutionary in terms of brand new innovative story points. But they were layered in a way that was interesting. If it had just been one or two of these storylines, then Terra Nova would have felt a little thinner and a little more simplistic, and it would not have been as interesting. But they kept hitting us with stuff. So,
it a little too kitchen sink then? Because I kind of felt kitchen sink, but I didn't hate it. I didn't hate the kitchen sink.
I did feel kitchen sink, but it was a lot of kitchen sinks. So that's what's kind of saving it for me. Because, you know, we saw all of this, you know, like I said, each thread, we kind of saw, of course the officer is going to get out of jail. You know, he starts in the prison, and his family.
I don't think I thought he was going to be left there and he would have to escape later so we can get more of the, you know, ecologically damaged society shots.
Well, I would have enjoyed that. And yes, timing is an interesting thing that I will agree with you on that. I knew he was going to get out eventually. I agree. I thought it might have been, you know, an episode or two further along, just like once he broke, you know, he sneaks his way onto, you know, into the historic, with the prehistoric Earth, or alternate Earth, we can get into that too. But he sneaks his way into the prehistoric alternate Earth, and then they say, well, you're going to be a farmer, son. So, of course, you know, it's like, how long is it going to be until the cop in him comes out and saves somebody? I thought it would have been a little too cliched if he actually saved Commander Taylor. He actually saved Commander Taylor. I was like, but still, you know, each of these threads, like, okay, I see this one coming. The son having the conflict with his dad, you know, was that?
That to me felt forced because he kept saying, "Oh, I miss my dad. I want to see my dad. Is he gonna come? I need him to be here." And you know, his dad comes, and then all of a sudden, they get to the planet. I hate you, Dad. I don't want to pick up my laundry.
It was the brooding eyebrows that got me right there. It was just like, ah, I don't want to see you, Dad. He's like, dude, I'm just out of jail. Give me a break.
Yeah.
But again, you know, so each of the threads by themselves, or, you know, we'd seen it before, a little bit corny, a little bit hackneyed. Sure, they threw in dinosaurs. But somehow, when you layer all of this stuff together, I thought the prehistoric camp that they built, the city that they built, was actually really pretty. And it was an interesting space to be in. So, you know, a little bit like Avatar, a little bit like Avatar.
No, as soon as they came out, I was like, this is so Avatar.
Mm-hmm,
That's exactly what I was saying.
And a little bit like Jurassic Park.
And a little bit like Lost.
You know, and a little bit like Lost. You know, so like I said, all of this stuff we've seen before, but the way that they layered the storylines together, it kept me asking questions. Well, wait a minute. Well, who's that person? Wait a minute. Where are these people coming from? Wait, what's their motivation? Wait, what's with the hieroglyphs? Each thing that they added didn't feel like a clashing, disharmonious, forced kind of story layer. They kind of fit together in a way that was interesting and made me want to know more about what was coming. And that was surprising because, like I said, the elements seem kind of cliched. You know, the elements seem a little bit cliched, but something about how the stuff came together, it felt good. It felt good. And I said, all right, well, it's got me asking some questions. I might stick around for a couple more of these to see how things go.
A couple? Wow, that's hardcore.
Because see, here's my concern. You know, when you got a budget like this. And you blow your budget on the first episode or your first two episodes, the ones that follow, we're going to really center on the emotions of the family. Oh, crap. You know, we're going to settle on, you know, I mean, like Sarah Connor Chronicles. I mean, we've seen this time again where they've got sort of like an exciting premise and a beautiful space that they've created. And then they spiral into a more traditional storyline that negates all of the things that they've invested in creating the space in the first place. So they have got so many interesting potential threads now going on with, you know, Taylor's son, crazy out in the woods. You got, what's her name? The Heidi Gina Torres leader running out in the woods.
Mira. Oh, Mira.
What? Mira, is that what her name is? Okay.
The black lady with the braids.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Mira, and she's Christine Adams. She's been on Doctor Who, Heroes, whole bunch of stuff.
Really? Are you sure?
Dude, I'm on IMDb. Come on.
Okay. Her name's Mira. Okay. Well.
Her name in Mira. Yeah, in the TV show, it's Mira.
Okay.
It's Christine Adams. Batman Begins. Heroes, Tron Legacy.
So her crew. I mean, so again, look at the perils that the people have to deal with. Okay, first of all,
is this like the Lost crew and the others? I mean, what is it? It kind of felt a little like that, but
I know. Like I said, each individual thread, it seems like something we've seen before, but because they've all come together in a way that's kind of interesting. They've left the door open for a lot of potentially interesting ways to go with the series. I don't know. It kept me asking questions, and that makes me want to see more. So
that's cool. All right. Well, let's take it in bits and pieces. One thing I wrote a note about is that it had a really great multi-culti cast.
Oh yeah, diversity.
And
The people kind of stand out character-wise. I mean, you know, whether you want to talk about race or even personality, they're a distinctive group. They don't kind of blend together as a holistic blob, you know.
Right. So what these people did with me was that, you know how Stargate Universe bored me and the characters were not memorable? This was the opposite of that.
Yeah.
Because all of the characters, you know, you say they were too pretty, but it's just like, okay, I remember this face. I remember that face. They're not all bland. And to correct myself earlier, this was filmed in Australia.
Oh,
not
well,
Vancouver.
All right. Well, we got new time, new woods now.
This is going to be more Legend of the Seeker Woods than... Oh, well, I shouldn't have said that. Anyway.
Snap out.
Right.
Snap out. Be strong. Just
yeah. Yeah. So the thing with the you can only have four family members and they had an additional one, I kind of felt it was an unnecessary risk and irresponsible of them. I know that, the government says they shouldn't control our lives and blah, 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 but she's a doctor and he's a cop, and it seemed a little bit like if they were just like some uneducated people who didn't give a crap, then okay, fine. But these are like upstanding people.
You got it. That was my first concern about this, because we're supposed to be, bonding with the family and going, oh, this is terrible that they have this population control. But you hit it exactly on the what are the circumstances by which that girl showed up? Because if, the doctor manipulated something. So, because I mean, you would think with this population control and ecological disaster world that there would be some kind of a drug or some kind of maybe forced birth control or something. If
Tube
she,
type,
you
anything.
know, something like that, because it's clear. I mean, look, people are busting into your house or whatever. That she is a medical technologist or a doctor or whatever might have tried to game the system a little bit, or so they really need to tell us what happened there to give us a more secure feeling about the family. Because if they bent the rules to have her, then that changes the whole dynamic of who this, Swiss Family Robinson thing, starting out is. It really does. Because I mean, look, they're breaking rules all over the place. You got, dads jumping through the time machine. You got, if mom did something to manipulate it so she had an extra child. They've been feeding her. She was like 4 years old at the point. That is a shaky place to begin. So.
And it is, and they tried to address it with Taylor. Taylor tried to ask, he asked her, so I think that might be the extent of how much they go into that, because I don't think they're going to cover it again, because like we addressed it, they talked about it. She seems to not, well, you're a doctor, you could have lived in the suburbia with the rest of the doctors, and she seemed to have a chip on her shoulder about it, like that was not good enough for her, or she didn't want to be like those people. So there's a chip there, but I don't know. That's kind of flimsy.
Yes. And so for us to just start with that, I'm with you. I was like, wait a minute, what's going on there? So yeah, they are really bending the rules. I'm really interested in alternate parallel Earth history thing that was going on there.
85 million years in the past, so they went from they went to prehistoric time with the dinosaurs. Now, to me, it seems like a bad idea because,
Because
well,
a
because
period of reasons, this is a terrible idea.
well, let me go. The first reason is you're going to have more time to pollute the earth. I mean, you polluted, we started polluting at a certain period of time, and then that, but now you go back, you don't see any recycling bins. You have, things made out of plastic. Where are they getting the guns from? If they shoot and they use all these bullets, that's litter. I mean, what, they're bringing in, microbes and stuff like that from the past. I mean, come on. The dinosaurs should have just died off from that alone.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
I was overthinking it,
They,
but
no, but the,
we.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff. The minor question of, remember what took out the dinosaurs? If you're going to build a society
Wait, my
again from
friend.
scratch, have they double checked this how parallel this is? Because we got meteors hurtling toward the brand new civilization that we're supposed to be creating. That minor snag they need to look into.
I
But
think it's a parallel Earth. I think it's the same Earth, and somebody's lying about something.
there, now see, there you go. So that right there, I'm with you, and I actually believe that as well. But that is an intriguing, a twist with the plot that is something they can do something interesting with. I mean,
Yeah.
stuff like that are the kind of questions where I said, okay, they got some flickers of something new here, and they could go into so many other directions. Just like the hieroglyphs out in the woods, right?
Apparently, his son did it. That's what
Apparently,
nearly, yeah.
now that and that's what they said. I was hoping that it was going to be something a little bit more interesting.
Yeah. Because,
And
like, what is
so.
the son doing? He disappeared from his dad. Is he growing up against his dad? I'm rebelling against you, father. Screw you. And I'm going to write hieroglyphs, and that's my rebellion. Woo. I mean, what, huh?
Yeah, the whole that they can do far more interesting things with that than just have a crazy brooding son in the woods. No, seriously. What I thought when I first saw it was, are we seeing either like some early like super Neanderthals?
Yeah,
or something
that's
like
what
that,
I thought.
Now that would be a sufficient, you know, foil to have to deal with, because, you know, here the modern Homo sapiens are busting in and they're disturbing the ecological, you know, path of the native peoples in this area, and that would be something Taylor would be all over. You know, that's something he would, no, don't go out there. Don't be messing with them Indians. You know, it takes you right back to a classic kind of duel that I thought would be interesting. But again, it seems like they were trying to resolve so many things in the pilot that they moved a little too fast with some of these. And I'm hoping that it's going to be more interesting than just, you know, scribbling crazy son out in the woods.
I hope so, too. And I really hope we get to go back to the original world, the polluted earth, because yep. I fell in love not only with the rebreathers, but the lanyards that was see-through and that skin. I was like, oh, my God, I'm in love. They don't ever have to do anything else but be right here. But I was like, man, like you said earlier, I see the money on the screen and all of those people, like all of the extra money.
Yep.
Money.
Yep.
With so many people and so many extra things going on. And I was like, you haven't seen this type of thing on a TV show in a very long time.
Long time. That's right.
And I felt like they tried to impress me individually. They like sat in a room and say, what can we do to please Kat? And they seemed like they went all out, and I'm extremely impressed by that.
So how sad is it that we as jaded sci-fi audiences are watching this and going, ooh, I hope they didn't spend too much money. I want the series to last longer than one season. What are the advertisers going to say? You know, we are compensating for effects and sets because we want the show to be long-lived. You know, and seriously, we're going, well, okay, they can't go into the future too many times because that'll cost too much, and then they'll cut the series. So
we're too savvy as an audience. We know what's going on now.
It's getting crazy. So one question that I have about, you know, the whole alternate past, future. First of all, the only way that they knew that there was an alternate timeline is they sent a probe back and no one could find it. And therefore, it's an alternate. Come on.
Plus, you know, logic at its best.
Come on. You guys are killing me now.
It's just ridiculous. Like, that was how you know. Because the child was explaining it, it was extra simplistic.
Let's hope.
Let's hope. I was like, you don't do that. I need more. I need a little bit more. I was like, whatever. I love it so far. I don't care.
I'm going to let it slide because this is just the first 2 hours or, you know, 90 minutes of commercials.
Well, so let's go into the people behind this. This was executive producer Steven Spielberg. Okay. He was in Renee Echevarria.
Yes. Some good old
when
Star Trek.
When I saw that name. And then Brandon Braga is involved with this.
Yes.
I got really excited seeing those names because those are the names you see associated with like Deep Space Nine, Star Trek. Spielberg does great things. I'm pretty sure his name is just on it and maybe he didn't have that. That's right.
He just makes sure stuff looks clean is how Spielberg pulls it. These are some heavy hitters and they are some of the good names from modern Star Trek, because there are some names from Star Trek that I don't want to see.
No, you don't want to see Berman.
I rewound
because I was like, because as soon as I saw Braga,
I did the same thing. I was like, okay, these are the good ones. All right.
So I'm so excited to see something from Braga again. And I just really love that guy. And I just miss seeing, because it's like, it reminds me, I forgot all of the stuff that he's done. But I just know when he's involved, I'm excited. So
and this crew were the ones that were responsible for the complex layered storylines in DS9 and some of the good ones that we remember from Next Gen. So, you know, they got the chops to make this interesting. And I hit the rewind. I made sure the Berman wasn't in there, a couple other folks. I said, okay, these people, they know what they're doing. They're not going to take me down a path and then just disappoint me.
let me just pause in there for a second. Braga did have something to do with Flash Forward, so.
Well, yeah, but look, Flash
And
Forward.
Threshold.
Flash Forward. Well, I didn't really watch Threshold, but
It was
you know,
good, though.
they started well, and then but see, it wasn't like the same people hung on until the end. It was like they started well, right a strike, and then half the crew left.
That is
So
true. That is true. Okay,
that
we'll
was,
let that slide. But yeah, so he did Braga did Terra Nova, Flash Forward 24, Threshold, Star Trek Enterprise, Voyager, Next Gen. And so, he that's our guy right there. He does the stuff that I watch.
Yeah,
And
and you know what? What was it? This show, what was it called now? Was Echeverria involved with Now and Again? You remember?
let me look it up right quick.
You remember that show? It had some problems. It had some problems. But one thing that I really liked about it is it just really looked good. I mean, something it just it really looked good. And that's one of the things about Terra Nova. When you're watching it, it just feels well constructed, and it looks nice, and I don't know. So I thought maybe that was
See,
there.
Echeverria did Terra Nova, Teen Wolf, Castle, Medium, 4400, Dark
44.
Angel, Now and Again, of course, like you just Deep Space
Oh, he
Nine,
did do Now and Again.
Deep
He did.
Space. Yep,
Yeah.
that was him.
There you go. There you go. I could feel that there's something about the style there. It
I
was.
know. I was like, this is my guy. They both of them together did the shows that I watched that I love,
Yeah.
and I'm excited about it. I mean, yeah, we can nitpick and have fun or whatever because that's what we do. That's how we roll. But at the end of the day, I still do like it.
Yep.
So,
Let me
a
see.
lot.
So what else we got? Oh, my question is, so are they able to communicate with the future from
I
where they
thought
are?
with the walkie-talkies, I thought they were doing something like that.
That's what I was like, wait a minute. Because I'm not sure. I didn't quite get that. And there were some other weird things. Like, all right, they said that they had determined that it was an alternate timeline because they couldn't find, the probe that they sent.
Like, how do they look for it, and how would they? I don't understand. Could
Well,
it?
wait,
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Okay, go
that was
ahead.
just the first part of it. The
Okay.
second thing is they go, here in the center of our town is the probe that was sent back from way back. I said, wait a
Yeah,
minute.
like I thought, if you lost contact with it, how do you have it right now? I don't understand that.
I'm assuming that wasn't the same probe, or that was like the scout. But if that's the scout, then that means they can communicate with the future. So, something.
No, they
I,
sent the oh
see, so you see, I'm maybe I just missed something. There was a lot happening, but something felt weird about that because I thought the whole reason that they found out it was an alternate timeline because they couldn't find the probe, and then there was an old legacy probe. It was the first one that they sent, and I'm still not clear about that. So I'm trying to figure out what the deal is, with the probes.
Yeah, it was officially a time fracture.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds good and believable.
Don't know. I don't know. Maybe. Well, another thing about our favorite shows with Renee and Brandon is that you can't ask too many
Oh,
questions.
come on,
You can't ask them too many questions because they
we
will
are
spark.
fans of the science fiction, and obviously there must be consistency among the things that we are seeing.
Their art and let them have
Yeah,
it.
all right. Well, not in the pilot, though. Y'all at least need to get the pilot right. So
I mean, it was just phenomenal, phenomenal.
it was pretty. I liked seeing the dinosaurs. It was good to see that quality of special effect on a series. I hope now, again, budget issues, right?
Well, the budget issue is that we went to a place where they can just shoot, and that's in the forest. So that's going to be straight up SG-1, like you said before. That's.
Well, here you go
Oh,
now,
okay.
because I love the scene when you had the commander out there in the broad daylight with the space shotgun staring down the dinosaur. That was nice, right? But when they were in the jeeps out in the woods, and the dinosaurs were busting into the jeeps, and the kids were in one, and they were like, "Oh no, they're gonna get us!" I'm seeing some rubber masks. I'm seeing some sticks. I'm seeing an all
of see
a
that.
Lot of camera movement, you know.
Okay. I didn't see a rubber mask.
Now comes
mask.
The puppetry, guys. So again, you know, if they can give me a nice balance between, you know, the CGI, high concept special effects, I will let you slide on a classic Doctor Who puppet coming at me, you know, and some of the darker scenes. That's all right. But if it goes, but if I'm getting just puppets, you know, in mid-season, I'm going to be a little bit disappointed. So you guys got to mix that mess up.
That's funny. Okay. More than 250 sets were constructed. An episode takes 8 to 9 days to shoot, 6 weeks post-production. The average episode budget is about $4 million.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Average episode. So, well, that's an average. That's not what each episode costs.
How does that compare? How does that compare against, you know, some of our other favorite sci-fi?
I don't know, but I know they're not $4 million. I know that.
You just know.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go back to, because I pulled up Wikipedia because people were complaining about how much this thing costs.
Well, yeah.
Had a total estimated cost between 10 to 20 million. Yeah. Steven Spielberg, that we're going to go to Hawaii. But he was like, no, I didn't want it to be in Hawaii because that's Jurassic Park. He did Jurassic Park in Hawaii.
Yeah, yeah. So, and that was Lost, right?
Lost was there as well. So it'd have been two Lost.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, all right. So again, as we go through the different storylines, again, you know, the rebellious teen getting in with the bad crowd, going out and drinking in the woods with the dinosaurs. You know, that's the story we've all seen before, getting drunk with your dinosaurs. But no, the pieces of it, again, you know, okay, so he's going to rebel. Oh, she's a bad girl and she's got the, you know, the golden heart and all of that. some of this stuff, I'm like, okay, I know where this is going. But the way they told the story really was kind of interesting. I wanted to know more about the characters. It was pretty in deep. It was pretty in layered. I'll say, I won't say deep. I'll say layered.
Yeah.
And that's what really drew me in and is got me looking forward to the next one.
And the black people didn't die in the first episode. Come on, we got to bring that up.
Yeah. Well, I was surprised. I thought they were gone.
But
yeah, because I had my eye open. I was like, oh, who's the first one going to go? So they did munch a security guy right out. Remember the dinosaur? So it was like, yolk. I was like, oh.
Yeah, I remember that.
But our girl out in the Jeep, she kind of freaked out a little. And,
she freaked out. I thought she was dead. I was like, ah.
She goes running out in the woods with a gun that's like three times the size as she is, running out there. I was like, oh, this is not going to end well. But she made it back, so I was happy about that. I made it back.
Yeah, she did. Yeah. Well, I hope they don't do too much family stuff because it's going to be like first, second season Smallville where there's just always, you know, emotional stuff to deal with and you kind of want to just see the action. Yeah. So I hope they go more action-based than emotion-based. But, you know, like you said earlier, we're counting the money. We know that they're going to have to take a break with some of the outlandish crap that they're shooting. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to get the dinosaurs. And, you know, I didn't think I'd like the dinosaurs because I don't hate Jurassic Park, but I'm not a big fan like other people seem to be. Mm-hmm. And I didn't hate the dinosaurs. It felt different for me because we haven't done dinosaurs. I mean, unless you watch Primeval, and I don't. So, but I was like, this feels like a great adventure. I'm actually looking forward to the next episode.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And they have the potential. You said, you know, you're hoping that it continues to be action based or whatever. But one of the strong points of series like Lost or some of the best of DS9 is they were able to use character. And I don't mean like personality character stuff, but I mean like conflicts between the characters to create interesting scenarios.
Okay, you're right.
So what I started with, because again, it's kind of hard to articulate all this stuff, but with the series that you'll go with no name, there was a lot of just angst between the characters And it was like, you couldn't like anybody. You couldn't really like it because everybody was upset. Nobody, there were no alliances. People were stabbing everybody in the back. And that from a drama standpoint, you were creating tension. But at the same time, who do you align with? You know, you have to care about who the folks are. You can have action as your basis, and I think they're going to do that. But they also, because of the very interesting storyline or the potential for interesting storylines, they can create some interesting intrigue and mystery and other things that don't cost as much to implement but are still, you know, fascinating to watch and compelling to watch. Yeah. So rather than, again, it you know, degrading into family shows, you know, about family, there's a lot of really interesting other directions they can go that's always going to be in there. You know, this is always going to boil down to be stories about family and, you know, friendship, and that it's always going to be in the baseline, and that's fine. I think that's, you know, that's what makes all these stories relatable. But at the same time, if you can throw in some interesting things like, oh, you know, who else is here with us, or, you know, why are these people so upset? You know, why have you got a second team? What are their motivations? That can make for a compelling background, and that's what I'm hoping for.
I agree. I think these are the people to handle. You got the names to go along with that type of thing. These guys did the shows that we love, and, you know, we didn't always agree with what they did, but we did watch the shows.
Yep.
and liked them a lot. So I think we're in good hands. I hope we're in good hands.
Come on, guys. Yeah, you have a 50% better than good looking than they ought to be cast. So you haven't gone wrong there. And we can really, really looking forward to them doing something with this.
I'm glad it's not an ugly cast. I'm really,
But that's real, baby. That's real.
No, it's not. I don't. I mean, seriously, what type of people are in Washington, D.C.? I mean, because I don't know. We don't have that many ugly people in Texas, or I don't know that many ugly. I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
All I'm going to say is there are politicians in Washington, D.C. That's
okay,
all I'm going to say.
People are a bit hurt.
All I'm saying is certain folks have an expected look about them, given what they do. You're like, okay, that guy's an accountant, clearly. You know, you just sort of know. So, yes. I'm not going to touch it.
Well, doctors are usually attractive, so maybe.
I'm not even going there. I'm not going
there. Well, there are no politicians on this thing running the show, so. Or maybe Ming-Na show up and try to.
I'm sure she's going to do this. She's going to show up and say something like, I am the regulator of Terranova. This whole thing is now under my jurisdiction.
No, she would do that. Her and her little character. Okay, well, we get another Terra Nova on Monday nights. What is it competing with? I don't know. Warehouse 13, not Eureka, since Eureka's gone.
Yeah. Wow. A science fiction show running up against the Sci-Fi Channel. Who's going to win?
Well, Warehouse 13 only has like two more episodes left because it was kind of in the middle of the little season. So it's not going to have to compete against it long.
Right.
So who knows? I'm excited. It's a Fox show, so it's probably going to get canceled first season. You know how Fox rolls. If not first season, definitely second season.
I'm just not even entertaining that mess right now because it's just too painful to be thinking about.
It is.
We are trying to, you know, support it, and they did turn out something that's interesting and good. So, you know, of course, we got our eyes on the budget. But look,
and we're still burned by Firefly and Sarah Connor.
Yeah, well, I will simply say that Fox is digging themselves out of a hole slowly, because at least, you know, they went ahead and got Terra Nova made. Mm-hmm. Furthermore, we have a new season of Fringe,
right?
Which did not, but they did. Shoot, didn't have to be. Look at Eureka. You know, just because they ought to have a final season doesn't mean that they're going to do that. So, you know, at least they're trying now. They're trying.
They are, and I think they're trying to pick better shows that they would like to support. And then you have all these big names behind it. So
that's the thing. I said it before. If you're going to make science fiction, you need to be in it for the long haul. You got to understand there are going to be ups and downs, and put that money in it ahead of time in advance and be ready, you know, just to kind of go with it for a little while, because we have to build an audience. It takes time. You got to bring in people who don't know what the show is about. That takes time. It is not the same as a regular TV show. So
or reality, which is so cheap.
That don't even count.
That's like $10,000 an episode.
Mm-hmm. They barely even hold the camera still on
I
that.
I know, right? It's ridiculous. So, anyway, yeah. We're not going to go there. But so, guys, that is Terra Nova. And speaking of Fringe, let's go into it.
Yes, Fringe is back. And the pilot was slamming. I mean, I was really on the edge of my seat. Literally, I was hanging off of this couch right here going, the whole episode was really, really good.
Right. Did you watch the one from last night?
Of course.
Oh,
yes.
Okay, good. Right. So every time I watch Fringe, I like to compare it to the X-Files. I think Fringe is a little bit more successful as in the stories than X-Files, because we know Fringe is Monster of the Week. But with X-Files, there was an expectation of government conspiracy, and every week I would expect, you know, them to go more into the government, you know, Deep Throat and, you know, Kennedy assassination and stuff like that. But with Fringe, we don't have any expectation of that. So without the baggage of the government conspiracy, we can move on and we can deal with the two universes or the five universes, because they're like five of them now. And I enjoyed I'm not going to say I enjoy it more, but I enjoy it differently without, you know, being let down.
Yeah, I thought that X-Files was a little bit more bottle show and a little bit more formulaic than Fringe, because I felt like X-Files was more Monster of the Week, was more, you know, one thing. Okay, now we are on to Wolfman.
It was called, but I had an expectation for it to be government conspiracy every week, but it turned out to be Monster of the Week, and I didn't enjoy that. I wanted more of the, you know, storyline with Scully and, you know, him fighting with the government, but they kind of tricked us and gave us government conspiracy, lured us in with that, but then dump the monsters on us each week.
Okay, all right. Well, I think that Fringe has got a slightly less formulaic structure than X-Files does, because yes, I agree with you that the, you know, X-Files had that thread of the government conspiracy tying things together, but they also didn't have, you know, parallel universes going on, and the arcs between the episodes were not nowhere near as strong as what they got going on with Fringe.
Right, I agree.
Fringe has got a lot more stuff happening. I've given up the comparison personally between X-Files and Fringe, because one of my early problems with X-Files, just like my early, you know, interest in UFOs, because I liked all that before I even saw it, is that, you know, there comes a point where you just want to know, look, is it real or not? I need some evidence. I need
right.
to see some stuff.
And that drove me nuts.
Every episode to lead, you know, we don't know. All that could have been this. Oh, that kind of bothered me after,
we,
you know, the
even
second
still season. Know to this day what happened to Samantha and, you know, Mulder's sister. Do we
right.
know? I don't know.
So with Fringe, though, you know, I rather than the paranormal, I like the science. And the science has got some concrete answers, no matter how freaking crazy they are. You know, everything that happens in Fringe, and, you know, if we got our LSD'd up mad scientist to bring, you know, science in and to bring, you know, a grounding to the things that we experience. But, you know, all of that stuff is explainable and it fits together and it's scientific and it makes sense and the arcs all fit together. So I like that more about Fringe than I did about X-Files. I always like science and I like mad scientists and I like that kind of thing. And for Fringe to make it as cool as they have, because it's like crazy mad scientist with a little flavor of a cop adventure in there, a little flavor of detective in there, but, you know, it's really crazy science is what's going on.
It
on
is the, crazy insane as, science. What did you like the about premise? The premiere, what exactly?
Man, I'm okay. Again, I don't like knowing what's coming when I am watching a show. You know, most of the time I can pick a thread and I can project out and go, okay, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, that's going to happen. Okay, this is where they're going to go. And then I will, you know, knowing that as the framework, I'm like, okay, what interesting thing are you going to take me? How are you going to get me to point from A to B? What interesting thing are you going to do? I know what the framework is ahead of time. Fringe, No freaking clue. No freaking clue what's going to happen. I'm just like, where is this every little thing? Man, when they I'm going to make sure I'm not getting my episodes mixed up, but the fact that they were walking back and forth now between the parallel worlds, mm-hmm. just, you know, with the one security guard.
You know that's not going to end well.
That's awesome, man. You know, what's that guy's job? I man the gate. I just sit right here. You have a card, sir? You can't get in the parallel universe if you don't have your ID. But it just the look of going from that one universe to another, the look on the people's faces when they look up and they see the Zeppelin going over. This is a powerful space that they have created. A really exciting and compelling and believable crazy world they have made. And people are just taking it for granted. Oh yeah, sure, we're gonna walk over there. Yeah, you know, we got a mad alternate running around. And Alt Livy is sleeping with my boyfriend that's no longer in existence. Yeah, that's sure. Let's use that as a base for the story that we're gonna go with here. It's just the chaotic fun of not really being able to tell what the heck is going to happen with Fringe, and then as little pieces are revealed, slowly having that stuff fit together in arcs that are 2, 3, 4, sometimes multiple seasons long. It's really great.
Yeah,
it's rewarding. Man,
how'd you like seeing your boy Joe Flanagan? And
oh, those darn Wraith got him again.
He looked like a Wraith.
Totally came out. I was just laughing when I saw. I was mad that he didn't make it past the first 10 minutes of the darn episode. Yeah. I really wanted to see him around. I really
He had the disposition of Dead Man Walking from.
Did he?
I was like, I don't know, something not right.
You may be right. I was just so happy to see him. I think I was kind of blinded to that.
Yeah.
But he even did the sort of, you go down the hallway, I'll get him.
But what do you think about these new shapeshifters we have? Because they're not like the old shapeshifters. I think there's something new, and they seem to have an agenda at the end of the episode. Like they're, I don't know what the hell they're doing, but.
Yeah, that's the problem. There's a lot of stuff going on that I'm not sure, you know, what's happening anymore. We used to have the foil of the parallel world to know, okay, that's where the bad guys are coming from. That's where the motivation is going. Man, I want to see the bowling ball guy again. What happened?
Oh yeah, the original people or whatever guy that wrote the book. I don't know. I just think he's around, and when they need him again, they're just going to call him up. I don't think he died.
Well, hang on. I mean, it's not an issue of dying. It's just that when with this new alternate timeline, how does he
fit? Yeah. Because, well, we do know the alternate timeline brought Broyles back.
Woo! Hey, Broyles. All right. It's always good to see Broyles.
Because I was on Twitter last night, and I couldn't help myself. I was like, we have Broyles in the I thought he died when before,
and but maybe he died as a result of Peter's actions, and therefore, seeing as Peter no longer exists, he's here.
That's what everybody else came up with, but it's like, well, you know, I don't care about the explanation as long as he doesn't die again and he those tight shirts.
All right.
Come on, you like Olivia too, so.
She's nice.
I like her red or blonde. She's just pretty both ways.
Well, she's fun to watch now. I'm telling you, Alt Livia, she's naughty. Yeah, she is just kind of, you're like, what's going on there?
And it's just funny. She has a totally different disposition. It's like she's...
Look, we've seen her as Spock, so I'm impressed now. Now, what she does, I'm really impressed.
That is. She's such a great actress. I love her. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, at first we were complaining about how bland she was and how little did we know.
Yeah. And
really good actor.
She was just holding it in?
Yeah.
Is that what it is? Let's say that's what it was. She would just hold it in and saving it for the big moment. But one of the fun things about Fringe, again, is, you know, you're sitting there and you're watching the show, and in an episode or two, they managed to double the cast. You know, we've talked about the parallel universe, fringe world. Mm-hmm. Now, in a new season, they've managed to rewrite the entire history of the series. You know, it's just like you talking about the creative, innovative ways to pull a series. You know, we got Olivia and Olivia taking. Oh, well, that's the new series. We talk about the pilot the new episode. But, you know, those two confronting a serial killer and the good doctor, you know, chasing each other through the parallel world. I mean, seriously, if you try to tell people who are not watching Fringe what an episode is about, they look at you like you are absolutely crazy.
I've tried to explain it, and you know.
And what's crazy is, you know, I got some diehard sci-fi fans that for whatever reason they've been sleeping on a rock. They have not checked out Fringe yet. And I'm sitting there and I'm going, you need to be watching Fringe. You got to be watching. Really? Well, should I start now? And I'm going, well,
what's wrong with you people? I'm not even going to address that.
My problem is, how do I get them into Fringe now? Because to just drop them in, literally for the series premiere, to say, okay, start watching now. I can't even make that work.
Would that look? I mean, he's got a crazy doctor. He has a cow in his lab.
I don't know how to start him now. With the final season beginning, you know, and there's a ghost of a guy that we've known for the whole series just popping up in fish tanks. How do I start somebody on Fringe?
I'm upset about Peter being gone and this new Lincoln guy getting all the FaceTime. I don't like it. I want my Peter back, and I want him back now.
Oh, I miss him too. I miss him too. But that's the feeling we're supposed to have.
How long are they going to take? Because I can only handle him being in the fish tank one more episode.
but Kat, don't you realize if he comes back, that means that all of the universe collapses. We can't have Peter come back.
I don't care. They brought back Broyles. Colonel Broyles.
But see, he wasn't the linchpin of two universes.
He's like seeping through the cracks.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, we've got the Observer gone rogue, hanging out on the edge now. So, man, you know, those guys were fun to see anyway. So having a disagreement among those guys, that's going to be fun. You know, I still remember the gun chase in the emotional episode.
I can't wait for another Observer episode.
So, you know, clearly his job was supposed to be kicking in there and stopping Peter from leaking through to Walter,
right?
And he is getting some feelings about that, because I guess, you know, he recognizes the hole that's going to be left in Olivia and Walter's world. I think he recognizes that the sacrifice necessary to completely erase Peter would mean getting rid of or damaging some of the most important people to the Observer. He's gotten close to these folks, mm-hmm. who have been right there at his hip trying to fix things that have gone wrong through these timelines and these, you know, these parallel worlds. And the more efficient he's got to be, the more he's got to cut away from the folks that he's known all this time, which is why, you know, he put his little gun back in the, you know, in the briefcase, or, you know, whatever, his little eraser, magic eraser. And which is why Walter can see Peter now. So he's gone off the rail a little, and there are going to be, as always, consequences, and I'm looking forward to seeing what that's going to look like.
Well, yeah, he left the cracks open, and we saw in the trailer for next week that Walter unconsciously calls somebody Peter, and Olivia was like, don't you mean this guy? You know, and I was like, wow, it's coming through. I hope they don't drag it out, because you remember how horrible it was when Scully was pregnant and she was lost for
man. No one wants to see that mess again.
That took forever.
And I know the crew from Fringe. They watched X-Files. They know better than to do that. But I'm real curious to see, you know, is the whole final series going to be, you know, search for Peter, you know?
Wait, now, see, you're saying final series, so what now?
Season. Final season of Fringe.
So this is the official final season? Because if that's what you're telling me right now, I had no idea, and I'm gonna need a minute to process.
No, I don't know that. I don't know that for certain, but I have a sneaking suspicion that it might be.
I'm unhappy right now.
Well, look, I mean, look, we barely got this one. So, I mean, really?
I don't understand what the problem is. They're like flying around Vancouver or wherever the hell they are, filming in barns and crap. And, like, how much does this cost?
Well, the issue is...
Is it the capital? I don't
not,
know.
The issue is it's not pulling the ratings of something like Dances with the Stars. And so, therefore, they think it's not good television. And they are humoring us as diehard fans that have been with the series from the beginning, and being generous enough to give us another season of Fringe. But this is contrary to their traditional model. And
we need to have a good old fashioned court episode of Star Trek and put them fools on trial for this mess. Just have us take them to court.
Yeah, okay. So you are the man who is responsible for canceling Firefly. He's got the little light that comes on because he can no longer speak from the fans attacked him at various locations.
Court martial fool. Oh, this is horrible. And so I guess it's like, well, what we're doing is we're taking the budget from Fringe and putting it into Terra Nova, cause blah blah blah.
I'm not even gonna say it. The fact that they are on is I'm gonna be happy with that, because I'm serious. They did not have to renew Fringe. The fact that they did, it was a big leap of. I'm not even gonna say leap of faith. Mm-hmm. They were just kind of like, look, you guys are gonna send us. We got crackers with Farscape,
peanuts.
We don't want your crap coming in here to Fox, so we're going to give you one more season of this.
Can we send them for Fringe? Because this one I do. Like all the other shows, when they got canceled, I didn't care. But this we were going to send them some shapeshifter goo or
bowling balls. I don't know.
That would suck.
It's got to be something they can't actually use. Send them bowling balls. Tons of bowling balls for Fringe. But I'm just enjoying it while it lasts now, and just trying to roll with them. But no, I believe it's probably going to be the last season of it.
Oh, that's so miserable for me.
But look, I mean, you didn't know. I'm not saying I know this definitively, but come on,
I can put two and two together. Yeah, I felt it, but I just hadn't heard officially, and I've been kind of avoiding that because I don't want to face it. I need Fringe.
I'm hoping it won't. Maybe something will happen. Maybe we can find a way to get all the rest of our friends to start watching it now with all of the craziness that's going on.
I don't think that would help, because they count the ratings in such a weird way that you never know. They can have like everybody of everywhere watching this thing, and just because there's certain Nielsen households don't watch it, whatever.
True.
It's such a shame. So many shows have died that way, and it's just shameful. But whatever. Let's get into a bit of Supernatural.
All right.
And the reason I want to talk to you about Supernatural is because you had such a great time with Misha Collins.
Yes, Misha. little did I know that I was partying with the new god. All right, I didn't realize it at the time. I believe it was before the smiting began, but I was just partying it hard with the new god. I had a great time, meeting him at Dragon Con.
Mm-hmm.
But to go from that, just seeing him there, to seeing how kick-ass his character is now. I mean, when he came back...
Wait, okay, so did you watch last night?
Yes, I did watch.
What do you mean with how kick-ass his character is now? His character is gone. I think he's dead.
I'm going in order. I'm trying to go, in story order.
Don't confuse me.
Well, hang on. Can we give him a little props for being God? All right. Can we just work through that first?
Let's start at God. Okay.
That was crazy cool.
He wasn't actually God. He just declared himself God, because the actual God never shows up or says anything. So he's like, screw it, I'm God. I can say that. But I mean.
Well, yeah, but you got to have a little power to back it up. And he happened to have a little chops to back up what he was saying. It was awesome, man, walking into that church, walking up to that minister.
Yeah.
Oh, man, he was smiting some of the right folks in the beginning. I was like, all right, Cass, all right.
I was God, I'd smite those people. those same type of hypocritical people who are around saying stuff.
I remember the Winchesters at the car. I was like, you know, we ought to do something about this, but things are kind of getting better. Yeah, let's just work on the car. You know, the Winchesters got to take a break for a day and a half there while Cass was the new god. It was kind of funny. But so, yeah, that was fun. And of course, seeing his character just break and go that crazy. That was great.
I like how he changed the image of Jesus to the image of him in the
stained glass.
The stained glass. That was hilarious.
Of course, rocking the trench coat. You gotta put it in the trench coat.
I'm the new god and I wear a trench coat.
Oh, that was good. What did the girl say? And he was hot, right?
He was God, and you know, he's kind of hot.
Yeah, love seeing Misha. I always liked him, and so seeing him as the quote new God, and then of course his fall and coming apart. That broke my heart. I kind of wanted to see him around a little bit more. But then, man, when he got infected by the
black oil,
the Leviathan,
the black oil from X-Files. Yeah, it was the Leviathans.
I forgot to mention, you know, after watching Fringe all this while, I slipped up last week and with the pilot of Fringe was eating dinner again. Son of a, they got me again. So this time, last night, I'm sitting down. I did not eat anything during Fringe. Like, all right, they're not going to get me this time, suckers. Ha ha. And then, so I said, but I am getting kind of hungry. I said, maybe I'll just have some ice cream. So, you know, Supernatural is coming on, right? So I went in there and I got my vanilla bean, got a little vanilla bean ice cream. And I said, okay, I'm going to have some vanilla bean. You know what? I'm going to put a little extra chocolate sauce on it. I'm going to put my chocolate sauce on this and I'm going to sit down. And so I'm sitting down and I'm about to bite in to my chocolate sauce on the vanilla bean. And then a dude explodes. It goos all over the wall. I'm like, come on. I just cannot eat while watching anything that I like anymore. I'm giving up.
That's hilarious, because every time, I remember last season, you'd text me, damn it, I'm eating. Or you'd warn me, you'd be like, don't eat, but Fringe is on, don't eat, you better not do it. That first 10 minutes is going to get you.
Fringe has gotten a little better. It's no longer just in the, you know, autopsy first 10 minutes. They kind of sneak it in later on now, but they still get you.
I remember they used to do first 10 minutes, they just like, something exploded, something was gooey, something was leaking.
Or something crawling out of somebody.
Crawling into somebody.
There you go. Yeah. So yeah, my black goo, that was fun. I'm sitting there eating my ice cream and chocolate, but the goo is back. We've seen it on Smallville, Supernatural, X-Files. Where else we've seen goo? It seems so familiar. We've seen it a couple other places.
You never know.
Yeah.
See it everywhere. But what do you think about Sam and this thing going on with the devil? And I don't know.
Well, interesting.
I'm tired of his wall and his problem with the wall. I thought when they brought the wall down at the end of last season that would be the end of it and we can move on. But we're still dealing with the wall. And I kind of don't care.
It could get tedious quick. I agree. I am hoping, because they have done good things in the past, that they are going to, I don't know if I can say resolve this, but they're going to work it in a way that's a little bit more interesting. Because having, Scorpius follow him around, you know, for an entire season, going, oh, you don't want to do that, John Biden. Oh, come
I love on. You right now. I love you. I'm in love right now.
Because that's what's going on. We've seen this before. Oh, you shooting me? Oh, but I'm your buddy. I'm not your buddy. Who am I? Oh, come on.
I mean, it's good seeing Mark Pellegrino, right? Yeah, I love no that problem. Guy.
Great. But not hating on the actor at all. But, you know, we want to see something a little bit crazier, a little bit more innovative coming out of the Supernatural crew. And I'll give them that for a couple of episodes to build a sense of turmoil and conflict inside them. That, okay, we get it now. But you need to move on or do something else with that, because we can't take a lot more of that.
No, we can't. I want to see shirtless paying hookers Sam. I miss that Sam.
Shirtless who? Paying hookers. Okay, see. See?
He was so high. He had his shirt off. He didn't care. He was Dean. It was awesome. He was powerful. And now he's back to, I feel your pain, Sam. And now I have Mark Pellegrino running through my head, talking crap and being Irish or whatever he is, Scott, whatever. I'm gonna strike that from the record. Anyway, it's just it's like, oh, we're tired of The Wall. We did the whole last season of The Wall.
No,
Not
no,
Pink
no.
Floyd. We don't want it.
Yeah, no. That they, I assume because they are good over there that we're not going to have to tolerate that much longer. Something's going to happen that's
But
going to
then what
change.
else are they going to do with his character? Because then.
Well, that's the fun of not being able to tell where they're going to go. That's what, if they are good, and they typically have been, they don't drag stuff out too long. They go, and they can feel kind of quickly if they're going too far in one direction. So I am hoping that that's exactly what we're going to see. We're going to get maybe another episode or two, and that's going to be enough of The Wall, or something is going to change enough where, it's not scratching on the wall, or, he's going black kryptonite or something, something. Things are going to change. Things are going to change. But oh man, so the Leviathans, when that dude's mouth opened up last night, I
Oh.
about freaked with that. I mean, I wasn't ready for the big mouth. All right, I was going, okay, Supernatural. What you? Oh,
Was like, the first thing I thought, I'm jaded. How much did
Listen.
that cost?
Yeah, okay, that did cross my mind as well. I did think of that. But yeah, that was a good one. That was fun. And we got new bad guys now. I mean, we got some dudes around, like
Yeah, but
in
they're like basically the demons again with the, how demons just used to show up and blah, blah, blah. It's basically the same thing again.
yeah, but this is a mob of demons. This is
They
a
were a
real
mob.
powerful. Yeah, but this is a real powerful super mob of the ancient demons. So this is going
All
to
right, Carl.
be interesting. I like them a little bit more because they seem to have a little more godlike power, and that's what I think is going to make them differentiate them a little bit.
Yeah, but they're like stupid in the head. It's like, oh, I want to be a grown man and not a little girl. Let me hold your arm for a long time, and now I'm you, and I can shapeshift, and I'm gonna dig into your body and eat your heart. Grr, that's what we're on the planet to do, and we wanted to destroy it. Like, really?
Well,
We're gonna have another apocalypse?
look,
Seriously?
when you're in a water fountain, you just sort of have to jump into the first person that you encounter, which is the whole little girl thing. She was drinking, happened to be by the reservoir. There you go. And by the way, I've drank at some fountains that tasted like that stuff right there. So I mean, swamp-tastic is how I would describe the water that came out of there. So, that's just showing, how dastardly they are. They took a little
Oh,
girl first, and
right.
now,
Okay.
they're just going on what?
Dastardly. All
They
right.
are. They're evil. They don't care.
All right. I mean, and see, I say this with people understanding that I still love the show. These are just little fun nitpicks that I ignore, but I bring up on the show. Just, love the show. Love it.
Of course, yes, and what we're saying is not something that's wrong with it. We are what we're afraid they're not going to do is what we're talking about here. So we're giving them time.
Yeah.
We'll let them see where it goes. But yeah, love Supernatural. They're great.
That's cool. And one more, because I know we're going long, but I have to find out. I didn't know you were watching Doctor Who.
You always say that. I tell you, I
I don't
always
know
watch
for
Doctor Who.
some reason
I know why the reason is. Here is the reason why. Because you hang with the masters of Doctor Who, okay? I am intimidated by your Doctor Who crowd. So I,
just little old Eric.
oh please, you, it's like a posse of them. They're like,
As
and so
Eric, there's Josh, there's Sean.
I mean, you see, and you're still going. These guys know Doctor Who
Well, I feel
inside and out.
intimidated by them. They watch all of the old stuff. I'm like the new stupid person, and they are very gracious and let me speak in their presence. So.
Whenever you talk about Doctor Who, or whenever you have an episode about it, I just stand back and I leave it to the authorities, to the experts. Not that I'm not watching it. It's just like, oh, you don't need me in this. You got them to talk about Doctor Who.
That makes me unhappy because I like to hear your opinions on things.
Well, I of course, I do love Doctor Who. I have really enjoyed where things have gone with the new season. Now, you know, here comes the blasphemy. Here comes the wrath. But I still prefer Tennant as Doctor.
Oh, wow.
I know it. And
it's time to move on.
but I'm sorry. I do. But I'm still, you know, getting used to the younger guy, and you know, the stories are a lot more complex that they've been writing for him. So the whole context that's been around the new season of Doctor Who has been really exciting, and the arcs are fun. And oh man, River, I love River.
Mm-hmm.
She is, oh my God, that woman. First of all, as an actress, I thought she was hot back on ER. So to see her.
Did you think she was hot in Flash Forward?
What little of her I saw. You know, I just like her. I've always liked her. But her character is just so much fun.
Yeah, I have such a girl crush on her. I love her too.
And you know, to see she and the Doctor going back and forth, you know, finally a foil, a female foil for him. That's really, really his peer, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And hangs out longer than the TARDIS as a woman, you know. It's fun to see those two together. So I've really been enjoying that part of the series and seeing where they're going with things. The darker Doctor is also scary and fun to watch. I'm a little disturbed by where things are now. Not saying I don't like it. I'm just saying it just feels so bad to see the present state of the lonely Doctor kind of frustrated and flailing around toward the end. That's hard for me to watch because there's always been sort of an optimism to who the Doctor has mm-hmm. been, an always a possibility of hope or a chance for, you know, for solution or something. So to see the Doctor marching toward his own death, and of course, you know, the series is not going to end. We know he's going to make it through, but just to see him in this place is kind of hard for me also, because, you know, that's not the Doctor I've always known. All incarnations of the Doctor, even, you know, when I started watching back with Baker, and there's always been a trapdoor. There's always been, and not just that as the viewer, we know that that's there. The Doctor has always known that's there. You know, he never really even seemed worried for a lot of this stuff. So where he is right now is kind of hard for me to watch. And I don't know. It's interesting. It's certainly compelling. You know, I am watching it. But the other thing I found a little difficult is there's a little too many people up in the TARDIS right now, okay?
Rory? People have problems with Rory. I love Rory.
I don't dislike Rory. I don't have a problem with him really at all. It's just... the Doctor is a bachelor in a sports car. The Doctor is a bachelor in a sport. He is the geek stud in his sports car. And that's who he's always been. So it'd be like if you had, like, say, oh, I don't know, like, you know, Magnum P.I., right? Magnum and his Ferrari.
Wow.
And for an entire season... he's got, you know, put the baby carrier in the back seat, and he's got his buddy, and his buddy's girlfriend is in the passenger seat. You're like, wait a damn minute.
And his ex-wife.
Wait a minute. There's a little too much going on here. A little house on the TARDIS is not going to work for me. So, I mean, that has bothered me. So I've been enjoying
earlier, like with Troughton and the one before that, they had two people in the TARDIS, girl and guy. So they had, you know, dual companions before,
right,
where it was a guy and a girl. So it's, you know, watching the older ones, I see that, like, it wasn't until, like, maybe, I don't know when, but Baker became the kind of stud in the sports car. But prior to that, he was just like an old man who traveled with youth, who did stuff.
Yeah, but he was sort of like a Mr. Wizard. He didn't drag him around, you know, for a season and a half at that point. It was just sort of like, oh, you know, they'd stick around for a couple episodes maybe, and then he'd drop him off on a world someplace.
Well, see, I don't like that because I get used to a companion, and I want him to stick around as long as the Doctor sticks around. So this thing about Amy leaving right now is just jarring for me because I don't know why I feel it's jarring. I've grown till I didn't like her the first, you know, season she was in there, but I didn't quite care for Matt Smith at first. But this, you know, particular series, sixth series, I love them. I'm in love with everyone. And so I want them to stay, but now she's quote unquote gone. I know she's going to come back, but.
Yeah. I think it is the family unit as companions that's kind of disturbing me. I don't mind. You know, when there are a couple of people in there, it's something about they are focusing a lot more on Amy and Rory and their issues of what's going on and less on the Doctor and the adventures of what the Doctor's about. And that's I found a little bit disturbing because I think Amy is interesting. I like Rory. I actually do like Rory and the character that he has become. But it's sort of like, you know, well, you know how you're watching a show and sometimes they blow up some of the B characters because they're trying to make a spinoff series and you're watching it's like, well, really, we got to watch the Ropers now. You know, it's just, I know that's not what they're doing, but that sort of deflection from the main and you're going, well, why are we watching all of this? That kind of bothered me. That kind of bothered me. But anyway, I like the characters individually. I like, you know, the stuff that's going on there. But I think we need to slim down the companions' roles for a while and get back to focusing on the Doctor, which they are starting to do. Now we kicked everybody off the TARDIS, and you know, the Doctor's hurtling towards his doom. You know, he's the lone gun. He's on a motorcycle now. You know, he's brooding. You know, what are you rebelling against, Doctor? What do you got? You know, he's that. He's Doctor without a cause now. Is who we have. But I, of course, you see, I'm watching it. So yeah, I'm enjoying it. And
cool. I never hear you say a peep. So I was just thinking that you didn't because blah blah. Yeah. That's good to hear that you're watching it. I'm glad. It means I can pick your brain.
I'm in it. I'm trying now. I am on, you know, the BBC America timeline. There,
well, some it's the folks, same.
Okay, yeah, because there have been some times where the British one was released a little earlier, and
well,
the people that
we
I was
had
talking
a US
to.
Holiday. We had a U.S. holiday, and so they pushed us back a week.
Okay, Well, also, all I'm going to say is that some folks I was talking to managed to get the episodes in another way, and I was not able to talk to them because they had seen like two episodes ahead. So, you know, that was another issue.
Oh, quit your whining.
I'm just saying. I'm just an American here. I am only watching what the BBC America gives me.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. So what else do we have up on the lineup? What other shows are you watching? Not that we're going to talk about them now. I just want to... Mm-hmm.
Shoot, I can't remember. Like I said, Pickens gotten slim. You know, we finished up Eureka, and Warehouse is coming to an end soon. The episodes are coming to an end.
We have Walking Dead to look forward to.
Yay, I got it on Blu-ray, so I'm going to sit back and get caught up again with my Walking Dead. So that's going to be fun.
We have something called American Horror Story.
Yeah, I saw intriguing. I might give it a shot. Oh, you remember Crazy Brother on Walking Dead, Angry Brother.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah, you know, what's his name? You know, who's not the one who sawed his hand off, but the other guy. You know, the other guy.
Okay.
Yeah. I saw him at Dragon Con too. Met him at Dragon Con.
Oh, okay.
Just chilling at the bar.
That guy then.
Yeah. Hey.
Did you actually pick up Vampire Diaries?
No, I've been slacking, and as hot as that girl is, I saw her like, oh man, I just haven't had a chance to
settle down, Daryl.
She's
Daryl's woman. He will shank you over.
She's worth checking out. getting
All
to.
right. Well, I know we're still watching Community and Big Bang Theory, so I'm glad I got you into Community.
it's crazy. It is crazy fun. I'm done watching that.
All right, guys. Well, we're going to wrap it up. That's our show. We'd love your feedback. Give us a call at 773-336-2686. Go to our website. Leave us a comment at scifipartyline.com. Send us a tweet at scifipartyline. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll see you at the party next time. Bye-bye.
And I'll see you next time on the Sci-Fi Party Line.
Yeah, I'll try not to, you know, wait a month to put it out.
That's fine. We want to keep it current with the the episodes. You're like, you know that new series, Terra Nova? It's season two now. I wonder what's going to happen with them. The probe exploded three episodes back. What are you doing?
End of line.